We're turning again in our Bibles tonight to the book of James, chapter 2. James, chapter 2. And we're dealing with the subject of faith and works. Now, while we went over Abraham very rapidly last week, I want to go back and review Abraham in order that you see exactly what James is saying in this passage. And we're going to begin reading at verse 20. And keep in mind that this portion has given many people a problem in trying to coordinate James chapter 2 with Romans chapter 4. Where in the book of Romans, Paul is dealing with the subject of salvation. And he shows that Abraham's justification was by faith apart from works. James, on the other hand, is not talking about justification. He's talking about the reality of the man who says he is justified. And that if we are justified by faith, then these things are evident in the life. So, this is very important. Verse 20. For wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works? And by works was faith made perfect, and the scripture was fulfilled which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. Likewise also, was not Rahab the harlot justified by works, when she had received the messengers, and had sent them out another way? For, as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. My brethren, be not many teachers or masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Now may the Lord bless his word. Let's pray together. Our Father, we thank you tonight for the privilege of asking and receiving. You told us to ask and receive, to knock and it shall be opened, to seek and we would find. We thank you that to those who seek you early, they find you, and you are known of them who seek. And we have your promise that if we draw near to thee, you will draw near to us. Now we ask you to graciously draw near to us tonight. Give us an insight into what justifying faith does in the life. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us work backward through the passage, shall we? In verse 26 we read, For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead. This is the application of the illustration that James has been using. James makes a statement, then he illustrates it, and then he applies it. This is a great method of teaching. And the illustration is Abraham and Rahab. The application is, for as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Now, the application is to ask the question, is your belief faith or foolishness? Where is the object of your faith? The object of our faith is always God and our Lord Jesus Christ, who is revealed in the Holy Scriptures. Is God working in your life? God definitely worked in Abraham's life, for the scripture was fulfilled. And to fulfill means to fill full. the scripture was fulfilled. A friend of mine, who was pastor of First Baptist Church in New York City for years, Dr. Peter Hoogendam, professed to be saved one New Year's Eve at a watch night service in Philadelphia when Sam McEwen was preaching. And he went up to Sam McEwen after the meeting and he said, "I got saved tonight." And he expected a pat on the back. And all Sam McEwen said to him is this, "You have your whole life to prove it." That's basically what James is saying. If you're saved, then you have a whole life to demonstrate what God has done in your life. For that's what we read back in chapter 1, where James introduces the Word of God. The Word of God is introduced in James 1:18. "Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures." And on the Feast of First Fruits, you remember, a sheaf of grain was taken by the Israelite and given to the priest, and the priest waved it before God as a guarantee of a glorious harvest that is to follow. Now that's exactly what God is doing with us. We are first fruits of his creatures. He is waving us where? Before the world? Before the world. Is the word working in your life? That is James' argument. Does the word work? And therefore, as God waves us before the world, what happens? What we believe magnifies the God whom we believe, for he is the object of our faith. Now let's go back and take a look at Abraham first of all, once again, and see just what James is saying. Now, in verses 21 through 25, we have two illustrations. The illustrations are two Old Testament characters, Abraham and Rahab. Abraham was a man, Rahab a woman. Abraham was a Hebrew or a Jew, Rahab was a Gentile. So faith works in a Gentile as well as in a Jew. Abraham was on the top of the pile. He was a man of wealth. He was very wealthy. Rahab, on the other hand, was at the bottom. She was from the lower part of society. But their names are both in Hebrews chapter 11. By faith, Rahab. By faith, Abraham. Now, Abraham is a great demonstration of a faith that works. 2 weeks ago, I mentioned to you that in my Bible, next to verses 21 and 22, I have written Genesis 22. And if you read carefully Genesis 22 came at the close of Abraham's life. At the close of his walk of faith. But in the next to verse 23 in my Bible, I have written in Genesis 15. And Genesis 15 came at the beginning of Abraham's walk of faith. And in Genesis 15, it is the night that Abraham had dealings with God, and he entered into with God what is known as the Abrahamic covenant of grace. The covenant was cut in Genesis 15. It was cut. God said to Abraham that night, he said, "Now can you tell the stars? Can you number them? So great is your seed going to be." And the scripture says, Abraham believed God. Now that's faith. God is the object of his faith. God spoke to him. He said, "Your offspring is going to be as numerous as the stars of heaven." And I tell you, when I look at the stars, my heart leaps for joy. When I think of the numerous seed of Abraham. And I believe, by the way, that when he speaks here of the seed of Abraham, he had Isaac immediately and Christ in view, according to Galatians chapter 3. And therefore, all who belong to Christ are children of Abraham. This is what makes the story of Zacchaeus so precious in the New Testament. For the Lord said, for today is salvation come to his house, for he is a child of Abraham. That meant that God is linking Zacchaeus to himself by faith. He was doing it. And to that, our Lord adds, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. So, at the beginning of Abraham's earthly pilgrimage, he believed God. Now, Abraham kept walking with God for a long period of time, for he was 75 years of age when he entered into the land, and he was 100 when Isaac was born. And now he's probably about 21 or 22 years older. For Isaac is not a little boy when he offers him on the altar. He's a grown man. And now God says to Abraham, now, give me that, which is a fulfillment of the promise that I made to you back there when you started walking with me, and I made my covenant with you. Now you offer Isaac on the altar. And Abraham put Isaac on the altar. And when you go through Genesis chapter 22, you have a beautiful picture of Calvary. He saw the cross. He saw the thorn-crowned lamb. For the ram was caught, where? In a thicket. How? By its horns. The head was crowned with thorns. There is Abraham's son. The ram that took the place of Isaac. And he received Isaac from the dead in a figure. And therefore the scripture says, the scripture was fulfilled. In other words, what God promised to Abraham in Genesis 15 was fulfilled to Abraham. In Abraham's experience, when he received Isaac from the dead in a figure, so the Lord Jesus could say, Abraham rejoiced to see my day. And he saw it and was glad. Now, we're going to move from Abraham because we dwelt on him 2 weeks ago. We're going to move to Rahab. Rahab is always called in Scripture every time her name appears. Rahab the harlot. It's amazing that there's some businesses that the business just follows you no matter where you go. It even did in the Word of God. And Rahab of verse 25 becomes a classic illustration of faith. And you have to think about Abraham about Rahab as this as you study her. What did she do? Well, she was a harlot. She may have run a massage parlor in Jericho. That fortress of the devil that stood in the pathway of the entrance of the people of God into the land of Canaan. That's where Rahab operated. But there's something about her. She heard. If you carefully read Joshua chapter 2, she had heard about the God of Israel and what he had done. What did she hear? She heard how he redeemed his people out of Egypt. She heard how he opened the Red Sea as the children sang Sunday night. How did Moses cross the Red Sea? She heard that. Where? In Jericho. She heard it. But that was 40 years ago that happened. Israel wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. What did Rahab believe? She believed a 40-year-old rumor. But the rumor had to do with what God did when he brought Israel out of Egypt. And beloved, we cannot stop telling what God has done in the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. for this is a foundation of faith. And Rahab believed, and when the spies came to her home, just as when the gospel came to us and telling us of the deliverer that's found in Christ, for she knew that Jericho was doomed. And just as the gospel tells a sinner that everything in this world and everything connected with this world system is under judgment, it is doomed. And there is only one way of deliverance, and that deliverance is in the person of Jesus Christ. And like the spies came to the house of Rahab, and they were the means of conveying the message of God to her, we who carry the gospel of Jesus Christ are the same thing. We are the means of deliverance from death. By faith, Rahab perished not when she received the spies in peace. Why not? She believed what she had heard. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And when you put that into the context, in Romans chapter 10, it becomes one of the most beautiful illustrations for Christian witness that is to be found anywhere. Because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God is Romans chapter 10, verse 17. That is a call. But if you go all the way back to verse 13, that is an effect. You have to read Romans 10 backwards. If you don't, you're going to miss it. Let's turn to Romans 10. We're talking about faith and the workings of faith. Now remember this. Everybody that lived in Jericho had the same information that Rahab had. Did you get that? Everybody in Jericho knew that God had brought Israel out of Egypt through the sea, and he had sustained them for 40 years in the wilderness. What was wrong? Rahab believed and perished not. The others in Jericho believed not, and they perished. Now look at Romans chapter 10. In Romans 10 verse 13, we have the cause. Well, we have the effect. The effect. The cause is faith cometh by hearing. Hearing by the word of God in verse 17. That's the cause. But the effect is in verse 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So as you go through the chapter, you go from an effect to the cause as you read it frontward. As you read it as the passage goes. Notice the effect. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But notice the next verse. Romans chapter 10 and verse 14. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And then we go a step further. How shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful upon the mountain are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace. And verse 17, so that, the summing up, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. In other words, the person who hears the word of God. That's how faith comes. And that takes us all the way back to Romans 1, verses 16 and 17. Now watch. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Gentile or the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. Faith in the speaker to faith in the hearer. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. What causes men to call upon the name of the Lord? There's somebody believes and carries the message. And that person is sent. And that person who is sent, you see, when you study this passage, that person who is sent, when you go back a notch in Romans chapter 10, that person is sent, and that person is a preacher. And that person is the means whereby they hear, and that person who hears then is able to believe, and when they believe, they call. You see what I mean by going backwards and going forward in a passage? You go from the effect to the cause. And it's so important that we recognize this. Now, Rahab in Jericho had the same opportunity everybody else in Jericho had. She took advantage of the opportunity, and it's amazing, she received the spies. She didn't give them away. She believed, and she received them immediately, and she bound the scarlet cord in the window, and she became the means of the salvation of her house. Why? She believed and acted upon that which she believed. Now that's what James is telling us in James chapter 2. Abraham offering Isaac upon the altar is an illustration that faith works. Genuine faith works. On the other hand, Rahab, when she received the spies in peace, it was evident that she was a genuine believer in Christ. Well, she was a genuine believer in what God had done for his people in bringing them forth out of Egypt. And God honored it, and she entered into the genealogy of our Lord Jesus. She's one of the five women mentioned in Matthew chapter 1. And every one of the women in Matthew chapter 1 become a great illustration of a doctrine of salvation. You see, the first one mentioned is a woman by the name of Tamar. She illustrates grace. Grace. We don't have time to go into it. But the second one is a woman by the name of Rahab. She illustrates faith. By faith, Rahab. Then you have, the next one is Ruth. And Ruth, you know, became the daughter-in-law of Rahab. For Boaz's mother was Rahab. No wonder Boaz treated her like Ruth like he did. He could say to Ruth, "My mother was an outsider, but she became an insider because somebody gave her the message. And I know you're an outsider, but I'm going to make you an insider." And Ruth is a glorious illustration of redemption. Redemption. For she didn't come in because she said, as we sing at weddings, you know, when we sing of "Whither thou goest, I will go." That didn't bring her in, friends. She was brought in because she was redeemed by Boaz. And the reason you and I are in is not because of what we say, but because of what our blessed Lord did, our greater Boaz, in the redemption of Calvary's cross. Ruth is an illustration of redemption. The next one is Bathsheba. Bathsheba is an illustration of mercy. The mercy of God. You see, she should have been stoned. And David too. Oh, the mercy of God. And then we come to Mary in Matthew chapter 1. And Mary is an illustration of sovereignty. sovereignty. Why did God choose me to be the mother of the Messiah? Faith that is real works. Now, I planned on getting through the first two verses of chapter 3, but I better stop so we can pray. And let me just take time out tonight to make the announcements and to read the prayer requests. Tonight is to be a brief choir practice. I was told there was a time limit on it of 20 minutes tonight after the evening service because there was no choir practice on Sunday night. But before we go and read the other prayer requests, I would like to make two. Janie Smith, whom we all know, is in the hospital. She's in County Hospital in 314 with a broken hip. She had pins put into it, and she's had a lot of difficulties in the last year, year and a half. So remember that dear sister in the hospital. And then I have another note. And it says, my next door neighbor, Sid McPherson, will be operated on in the morning for heart bypass. That's a neighbor of Mrs. Hayworth. And she puts a note, pray for him. So we want to especially remember those two tonight, along with the others. And you'll notice on our bulletin, those who have cancer, Carol Edgerton, and the sad part about it, she needs to be saved. And then Sarah Pate, who is Carrie Mann's neighbor. I visited her not too long ago, and what a pitiful case, that's all I can say. And then Mary Dixon, and Miss Granoff, Elsie Wright, then Van Bowman, Elton Rudd, Miss Alford, Audrey Thompson, Bobby and Oscar O'Hare. And I might add Audrey Thompson's sister in New York, Mrs. Stockinger. And she has cancer. She's in the last throes of cancer, really. And they're expecting a call at any time to go to that. She's passed on. I don't know if Mrs. Stockinger is saved or not. She's one of the hardest persons I've ever witnessed to. The verse in the book of Proverbs fits her very well. Better is a poor and a wise child than an old and foolish king who will no more be admonished. She's always been the top-notch person in the family. She was always catered to by all the other members of the family. And she's taken advantage of this. And I preached the gospel to her. And while she respects me, I saw no movement toward the things of God. But there are one or two people in New York, on Long Island, who have witnessed to her, and the Lord may have graciously saved her during this illness. And then the special prayer in our church family is for our Sunday school and for Angela Laughlin, and then we need to remember our young people who are away from us. Then the missionary family, Miss Sarah Murdoch, who is now home, and at the present time, she's at Columbia Bible College, Western Mariana Stephan, Mrs. Patterson, and as I mentioned last week or the week before, that she is going to need surgery on her knees again, and she may have that surgery in Chicago at the hospital there. And then the Grady Hope family in Kenya as they work at Rift Valley Academy. And then the Precious Child Ministries that we support Radio WHPE in High Point, and then our own brief radio broadcast every week on WFML in Graham. So we'll go to the Lord in prayer at this time, and I'll ask Mr. Summerell, if he will, to close the meeting.